WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our Grow with a Pro series, profiling different careers in the entertainment industry, I am thrilled to be joined by the founders of Heart of Singing Music School, Nicole Cooper and Russell Hoke. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Now, Nicole, you are a very accomplished vocalist with credits ranging from musical theater to opera. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm actually from New York, and I came to Chicago in 2004 because I got a scholarship to go to Chicago College of Performing Arts at Roosevelt University, and I was excited to be here, and I started out in musical theater as a kid and then switched to opera in my undergrad, and I've been going strong ever since.
Now, you've actually performed at Carnegie Hall. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. A few years ago, I joined a national competition, and I became a Chicago finalist for that competition, and I was chosen in top 30 to go to New York to compete for a spot to sing at Carnegie Hall, and I won in the top 8, and I was able to compete at Carnegie Hall.
That is just an amazing memory to have. That's so wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Now,
and it was my hometown, so it made it.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, as I mentioned, your credits range from musical theater to opera. Do those two disciplines require a different approach to singing?
Yes, I believe they do in a certain sense, but the fundamentals are all the same. Great breath support, placement, energy, releasing tension, opening up to your audience. Everything is very similar, just some of the style is different.
And what is your favorite highlight from your performing career?
My favorite highlight is having gone on 6 international tours with Chamber Opera of Chicago. To the UK, Scotland, England, Wales, and Canada.
Russell, you are also a very accomplished vocalist with performances across the US, UK, and Brazil. What is the overall approach to teaching voice at Heart of Music Singing School? Heart of Singing Music School. A little dyslexia going on there.
I work somewhere. Okay. Our overall approach kind of goes back to the old European method, and bel canto, which in Italian means beautiful voice. And so we use these styles with development of openness and vowel and technique with great singing and security to build the voice that is going to be strong and healthy, and not just a voice for today, but a voice is going to last throughout the entire career and far into life. If you do it right, it lasts forever. It won't just be you're 21 and done.
And how did you get into music?
I got into music in a not exactly the traditional sense for opera. Usually there's a formula for operatic singing, which is, you know, you go to undergraduate, graduate, do a couple of programs, then you go pro. I, on the other hand, came out of high school singing country and Western and playing guitar. Going to musical theater as a singer and a dancer, and then as an actor singing and dancing. Did that circuit for a while and then decided to get my music ed career because I was thinking about having a family. But then I went to school, and the right person heard me, and they kind of introduced me to the world of opera, which it turns out that I have a knack at. So from there, I was swept to Italy and taught the old ways, and just haven't stopped since.
And what have you learned from your performing career that you try and impress upon your students?
Uh, the singer, no matter what genre it is, the singer must be fearless. And that's important because it's so easy to psych yourself out to the point where, oh my gosh, I can't sing this. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. No, 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 no. You fail only if you think you're going to fail. There's a lot of times that you can just kind of put yourself out there and allow yourself to really soar higher than you ever thought that you could. And that's the magic of music.
Now, you mentioned that you started off singing country and rock and then used to musical theater and then finally opera. What is your personal specialty area when it comes to teaching voice?
I tend to work with I'm kind of the polisher around here. Nicole mines the talent, and then I kind of polish it off, and then we finish it together as an end product.
Now, Nicole, when you first meet with a new vocal student, how do you go about assessing their talent level?
Yeah, so first, when someone first comes in, they're super nervous and anxious because they've either never taken a lesson before or it's a new relationship. And so I try to make them feel as comfortable as possible, help them to relax. And then I ask them their background and get a little information on what they've done with music. And then from there, I have them sing a song for me. It could be a whole song or half a song. And really, within a few bars, I know what we need to work on. And, I try to help them through vocal warm-ups with their pitch, their vocal color, their range, their resonance, their breath support, and their artistry. And then I let them know what we need to do to get better.
What made you want to be a music teacher?
It's always been super important to me to inspire the next generation of singers and to use the arts to inspire confidence and build self-esteem in anyone. I believe it's a great form to do that with.
Now, I find that performers succeed in getting cast the most when they take the time to analyze and recognize their specific type, whether that be physical type or vocal type. Do you help your students realize their type?
Yeah, for sure. It's something I'm always factoring in when I work with a student on what they're going to be most hired for. And so we assess their body and their voice color and their vocal skills and their acting ability. And we put that all together and we assess where they're going to go.
Now, Russ,
and then we put music based on that.
Russell, how important is it for a singer to be able to read music?
I think it's while it's not essential, I think that is very important. I like to equate it to an author that can't read. An author that does not expose themselves to the inner workings of someone else's work is going to take much longer to develop as their own artist. So it's up to us as singers and interpreters to take what a composer has written and understand the meaning behind every note, every marking, every dynamic, so that we can understand what the original intention of that piece of music was, and then we can give an accurate interpretation with our voice.
Russell, what are some of the bad habits that you see in singers?
A lot of the worst habit is just not believing in self. We call it, and it's the actual term is the imposter syndrome, that a singer will come in there already defeated, thinking that they don't belong up on stage, that they couldn't possibly be as good as their ABC favorite artist, whoever that is. Oh my gosh, that person has something that I just don't. And a lot of times that's not true. What they do have is a great, healthy ego and willingness to go out there and fail and live on the edge of insanity in order to make that career work. And that's what we really love to hear. People out there on the edge, and it's so scary for a singer to be there. And so they defeat themselves before they even begin.
I know a lot of singers who have no problem performing, but in the audition, they get terrified. Do you ever run into that?
That happens a ton. We've had a lot of singers come through our schools, and that are going to audition for one of the three big TV shows. And you know, this is like, oh, last year I was so close, but you know, it just didn't happen. And because I froze up or something like that, how do I get past that? So what we do is we try to, you know, it's half psychological here at the school. We just try to get people comfortable enough to go out there and put it out there.
Now, you mentioned the school a couple of times. You have two locations. You're doing lessons virtually right now because of the pandemic. But you actually have studios in Chicago and South Elgin. Is that correct?
We do. We actually closed down the one in Chicago because of the pandemic.
Gotcha.
We do have the school physically in South Elgin where we teach from, but no one is coming in at this time. We are teaching nationally on virtually and on Zoom. So we're getting students from all over, whereas we were limited before. So
excellent. Now, Nicole, what is the number one mistake a singer makes in selecting an audition song?
I think just not being realistic with their skills or knowing who they are as an artist or knowing their music. So it's really important to not come across as fake or unprepared. And so they really need to know their type before they go in there, and they need to have researched everything about the show and know how to portray that to the auditioner.
What tips would you give to how to select the best audition songs?
Well, I would definitely say have a really great teacher that will help you, and also the love of music in your heart, or whatever your heart is leading you towards, you're going to sing that the best. So you want to go towards that. But of course, it has to be the right type of music for you.
You are listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guests are Nicole Cooper and Russell Hoke of Heart of Singing Music School, currently offering voice, piano, guitar, and ukulele lessons virtually. For further information, call 312-401-5054 or visit heartofsinging.com. Mention It's Showtime with Ricky Lee and get half off your first lesson. Now, Nicole, when you audition for an opera or for a musical theater production, do you prefer to sing something from the show you are auditioning for, or do you find something that is similar from a different production?
For opera, I prefer to sing something from the show to highlight how much I have, or the composer, actually, how much I have a grasp of the character or that type and style of music. So, yes, I love to do that.
Okay.
In musical theater, it's a little different.
Tell us about that.
I'll let Russell.
Okay.
I think in musical theater, it's a little bit different. You always want to put your best foot forward and bring the piece that you know the best, that's going to showcase your voice and your skill. But the nice thing about musical theater as opposed to opera is that there's a limited amount of time that they give you to sing, 16 to 32 bars, which isn't a very long time. So it's a lot more feasible to learn something from the song or from the show to bring in to auditions and have it at a readiness level that you can actually get cast with. It's much harder to do once you start doing opera because there's so many more factors that go into such an aria.
How many audition songs should a singer have ready to go at any one time?
At Heart of Singing, we call it the Fab Five. We like to have five different arias ready to go at any given moment. Usually what we'll do for our operatic clients is we have one in Italian, one in French, one in German, one in English, and then the fifth one is you know, whoever's favorite song.
Yes, and then for musical theater, we usually help the students find 16 bars of an up-tempo song and a slow piece, and it's a little different. You do not sing the entire piece for musical theater. You usually just highlight part of the song, and you usually should find that from the composer, something similar. Mm-hmm. They don't always like you to bring in something from the show.
Yeah. Now, Russell, Heart of Singing Music School also offers lessons for piano, guitar, and ukulele. Is it important for a singer to play an instrument as well?
It's not essential, but it is very helpful. A lot of the same principles that go into playing music on an instrument go hand in hand with singing. Learning what the intervals look like, how to read them, how to read all the markings on the piece of paper. But not only that, but it's going to help with something we call phrasing or putting together these nice long thoughts that happen in music and making really telling a story, whether with an instrument or your voice, is very similar. So it's going to only augment your musicianship to play an instrument as well as sing.
Is there such a thing as being too old to start music lessons?
No, not at all. We like to say that we teach people from 5 to 95, and that's kind of accurate. Our oldest beginning student was a young lady in the city. She was probably around 85 or 86 years old, had just had this beautiful, bubbly love of music, but she never had the nerve to try it. She said, you know what, I'm 80 whatever years old, forget about it, I'm just gonna rip the Band-Aid off and try it. And you know what, she had such the most beautiful voice, and we just enjoyed working with someone that was so positive and so much loved the art. It was a treat to work with someone like that.
How old does a child need to be in order to start music lessons?
It depends on the instrument, but for singing, I will teach a child as young as 5 or 6, but they're going to really be learning how to be more of a musician, making sure they can match pitch and sing with the accompaniment. But they're not going to be able to build their complete vocal skills until they're around 12. For instruments, it's a little different. We believe piano you can start as young as 4, and guitar about 6 years old because of the dexterity of the fingers.
Yeah, they have to have the physical coordination for those instruments.
Is your approach with child students different than your approach with adult students?
Yes, in the sense that adults can grasp concepts sometimes a little bit better than young children can. I try to make the concepts fun in vocal warm-ups for the kids and give them some knowledge through vocal warm-ups. But with the adults, they really can grasp their body. They're very physically aware, and you can equate that to life experience too.
And what tips do you have for singers who get nervous before auditions?
My tip for them is that they just need to sing all the time and audition as much as they can. The more you audition, the less you get scared of it. And you can't be afraid to put yourself out there and fail. You might fail. They say you'll fail 20 auditions before you get one thing. But the most important thing is that you're out there trying your music, practicing, and making sure that you are able to do it.
And what is the most important lesson that you can teach a vocal student?
I believe it's really about loving what they do and really loving themselves through learning. A lot of students are so critical and such perfectionists that they forget to love what they're doing. And it's really important to not be self-critical and to practice with self-love.
Now, right now you're doing your lessons virtually. What are some of the unique challenges of teaching virtually?
I find that actually I'm really enjoying virtual lessons. They're super convenient for student and teacher, but studies show that students in online lessons are 36% less distracted and perform 22% better than in-person lessons. And I really believe that to be true because through Zoom, we have a whiteboard and we can write down vocal warm-ups and they can stare at it and really focus. And we can also put the music on Zoom and write in the notes, and it's very, very similar to in person. We're able to notate and still touch through Zoom. So I am enjoying it. My students are growing tremendously through it. And Russell, would you like to add?
And on top of all that, it's really convenient for the parents. You don't have to drive around little Bobby or Susie to go to 14,000 different places. They can just say, okay, you know, here's the tablet, here's the computer, here's some headphones, here's your playroom, go play your music, work with your teacher, I'll be in the other room if you need me. So I think it's really convenient for the soccer parents out there that kind of takes away some of the running around that happens in the day-to-day lives of having a child.
Russell, did you have to adjust your teaching style to adapt to a virtual format?
No, actually I didn't. It's the same information either way. The big difference is that I can do it in shorts. because here at Heart of Singing, I actually have a recording studio here, so I'm able to use my microphones and my headphones and stuff like that. So what they hear from me is going to be dependent on how good of the equipment they have at home. So if they have a decent set of headphones, it's going to sound really good to them. And then what I hear from them with the advancement of microphone technology and affordability of microphone technology now, they can give to me a pretty decent sound on a pretty tight budget. So I find it to be very easy.
Will Heart of Singing Music School continue to offer lessons virtually even after the pandemic?
Yeah, we totally like the format, and we enjoy the farther reach. What we can do with the virtual format is we can reach communities that were used to be artistic wastelands. All right, maybe far out farming communities or places that don't have access to fine arts can now be exposed to these things through the wonderment of the internet, and we're so proud and happy to bring that to people that have never been exposed to these things. Because you know what, a lot of people that you wouldn't think love music absolutely love music. It's universal, and it crosses socioeconomic lines. It doesn't matter who you are, there's a song in your heart, and so we just want to help you find it and help you interpret it to your enjoyment.
Nicole, you and Russell will both be part of the world premiere of a new work entitled Future Perfect for Bellissima Opera next summer. Can you please tell our audience a little bit about that project?
Sure. It was actually created in partnership with 1300 Chicago area youth, and it's a modern fairy tale celebrating the interconnectedness of everyone and everything in the universe. And my character, actually, Rosetta, sings an aria called The Universe Sings. And if it'd be okay with you, I could read the text.
Sure.
Okay. Every star is a note, every solar system a new scale, a different arrangement of the patterns, beautiful patterns. The song is sometimes harmonious, painted in nebulous, and nuclear fusion burning 1,000 different colors. Singing the song of birth of atoms, commingling and building something new. So, actually, it was written by a 16-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And she wrote it in a matter of the text in a matter of 9 minutes. It was a writing assignment. And it's turned into a most glorious aria. And, yeah, we're very, very excited about it. And this show was produced and written by Christine Steyer and David Shenton, who's an amazing American composer.
And where can listeners find out more about Future Perfect?
Yes, you can go to bellissimaopera.com, and they're also helping, if anyone's interested in tickets to see the world premiere next summer, they're going to help anyone be able to do that. So that's bellissimaopera.com.
And when you say helping people to see that, you mean financial assistance on the tickets?
Yes.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Now, Russell, is there extra pressure when you're originating a role, as you'll be doing with Future Perfect?
No, that's a great question. There is a responsibility when you are premiering a role. You are creating something that is going to be dissected. And if say this opera takes off and is performed all over the world, I'm going to be the first one that has sung this opera. They're going to be looking at the things that I did, and not only the things that I did well, but the things that I failed, because everyone's going to bring something different. So there's a lot of pressure to originate something, but you know, you have to remember that it's going to evolve and evolve and evolve and eventually become unrecognizable, and you have to be okay with that.
Excellent. And how do you have the self-confidence to embark on a mission like that?
Well, I've never been shy, and I've never had a small ego. Fortunately, I've had some very strong women in my life that have always made sure that I didn't get too far ahead of myself. So being able to have a great support system that not only is pushing you forward, but helps rein you in, that's been really the story of my success.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guests have been Nicole Cooper and Russell Hoke of Heart of Singing Music School, currently offering voice, piano, guitar, and ukulele lessons virtually. For further information, call 312-401-5054 or visit heartofsinging.com. Mention It's Showtime with Ricky Lee and you'll get half off your first lesson. I hope you'll join me again next week for another educational and entertaining half hour exploring the world of entertainment. Until then, I hope that you will visit heartofsinging.com and look into the lessons with Heart of Singing School of Music. And between now and next show, be good to each other and be good to yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.